Masechet Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Mem, three lines from the top of Daf Kuf Mem, Amud Aleph, and let's quickly recap. The Mishnah just taught us that in the standard case of Yerusha, where Yaakov died and left sons as well as daughters, then certainly Midoraisa's sons inherit all of his assets, and his daughters shouldn't receive anything. However, when Yaakov married Rachel, one of the Tanakh Ksuba was that Yaakov promises to support their daughters until they reach godless or until they get married, whichever is sooner, which we know is the Tanakh Ksuba of Benan Neitvin, the Havilah Chiminoi, even Misazim in the Chasai, Ad Tabagrin, Oyat And our Mishnah discussed where Yaakov left Nechasim Reuben or Nechasim Adin, and the Gemara brought a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel as the definition of Nechasim Reuben and Nechasim Adin. And Rav explained if Yaakov left enough assets to support his sons and daughters for a full 12 months, that is defined as Nechasim Reuben, and anything less would be categorized as Nechasim Adin. While Shmuel, as well as Rabbi Yechon, taught us that Nechasim Reuben is if Yaakov left enough assets to support both his sons and daughters until his daughters reach Bagris, which is the longest possible time that they would be supported from this estate, and anything less than that would be considered Nechasim Watin. And our Mishnah taught us, Bizmach Nechasim Reuben, Habonim Mirushu, Vabonim Sizainu, and Nechasim Watin, Habonim Sizainu, Vabonim Mishal, Wal Psachim. For example, if it would cost $2,000 to support Yaakov's sons and daughters until his daughters reach Bagres, or $1,000 for his sons and $1,000 for his daughters' needs, so if Yaakov's estate was worth more than $2,000, and for example, was valued at $3,000, which are Nechasim Reuben, so his sons would have a right to inherit the full estate or $3,000, they would now be responsible to support their sisters, which would potentially cost them up to $1,000. However, if Yaakov's estate is worth less than $2,000, and for example, its value was $1,500, then his sons would have to segregate $1,000 in order to support their sisters, and some Rishonim hold that these funds would actually be placed in escrow, and a trustee would distribute these funds to Yaakov's daughters for mezainis, and Yaakov's sons would be able to use the remaining $500 for their own support, but once they would use up this $500, they would have to be Yishal Wal Psachim. Our Gemara begins, Pshitim Reuben is Smaitu, Kvazach Ben Yarshin, that's Pashatos, that in a case that when Yaakov died, the estate was valued a full $3,000, and therefore there was enough money to support both the sons and daughters at Shibagru, then property values went down, but there was inflation, and the cost of Mezainis went up. For example, this property is now only valued at $1,500, or the cost of Mezainis for the sons and daughters at Shibagru went up, and at this point, it would actually cost $1,500 in order to support the daughters at Shibagru. The Gemara teaches us that certainly in this case it's Pashut that right at the time that Yaakov died, the sons were already Zeicha in Zirusha, and as Rashbam states, the Karina Bu Nechasim Reuben, as at that point it was Nechasim Reuben. Therefore, at that moment, V'yichu Abonis Chalkon Amagin Kvi Shuma Shal Shas Misaviyim V'Abonim Yeshu Chalkon Shere Magin Bo Isishah. That moment it was already set as to the amount that the daughters and the sons would receive from this estate, and therefore V'chol Mashu Chasun Nechasim Chasul Abonis. Therefore, any loss in value would now be proportionally distributed between the sons and daughters. In our scenario, since the property value went down by 50%, the daughters would lose 50% of the value of their mezainis, and instead of receiving $1,000 towards mezainis, they would only receive $500. If there was inflation and the cost of mezainis now doubled, the daughters would still only receive $1,000, as that was the amount that they were originally entitled to. And the Gemara continues that although in this case it's Pashatos, that in the case of Reuben and Smaitu, Kvazoch ben Yarshin, however, we have a Shaila in the following scenario of Mortim and Srabu Mai, what would be halacha if originally when the father died, the estate was considered Nechasim Rotten, and there wasn't enough money in the estate to support both the sons and daughters, and for example, the estate was valued at $1,500. As Rashbam points out, at this point it was this Rabu, Shehuzl Mezainis, that the cost of Mezainis actually went down and there was deflation. For example, instead of the daughters requiring $1,000 to be supported, they would only require $500. The Gemara Shaila is that who would be entitled to this extra $500? The Rashbam explains in Dibur Maschal Mahu, Mi Mati Revach Lebanim, would this surplus belong to the sons, Vitlu Meisin Chasim Ha'idif Mechtei Mezainis Banis at Shibagru, and they would receive the additional money that's left over, and that is a surplus. The Gemara explains that the Shaila is, B'shus Yorshin Kaima Hilkuk B'shus Yorshin Shvuach, do we say that Lemaisa, all the assets are still in the Rishus of the Yorshim, therefore certainly any surplus should belong to the Yashim, and Adilmas Luk Misaki Yashim Hacha. What do we say that since at the time that the father died, the daughters were entitled to $1,000, so they would still be entitled to the full $1,000? And it's as if the Yashim don't have any connection to this money any longer, since originally the estate of their father was Nechasim Watin, so it's considered as if they were holding the $1,000 for their sisters, or like we stated before, it was considered as if the money was going to be placed in escrow, and therefore the sons would not have any rights to the surplus. And the surplus also belong to the daughters. Ayin Dikduki Seferim, who is not gerus, these two lines of the Gemara, and he states, V'lei v'yu, af echem and rishenim, and none of rishenim bring these two lines, v'kulim v'fashla shalaika b'gemara, and all the mefarshim explain the Gemara, not based on the words of the Gemara. In the case of the Gemara, Rubim and Esmaitu, the Rashbam gave two examples, and he stated either the karka went down in value, or there was inflation, and the cost of mezainis went up. However, in the case of Mu'atam and Esrabu, the Rashbam only gives one scenario, and as we brought down, the Rashbam states, for Esrabu, shehuzlu mezainis, that the cost of mezainis went down, and there was deflation, and the Rashbam doesn't bring an example where property values went up, and Tzarech Biyev, the Rashbam holds that it's specifically talking about a case of Mu'atam and Esrabu, shehuzlu mezainis, b'tzarech Biyev. And let's point out, before we continue, that Rashbam explains that even though the Gemara had a shayla by Mu'atam and Esrabu Mai, that is only going to be a shayla in a scenario where they did not yet come to Bezdin, and Bezdin did not paskin that the daughters are entitled to $1,000. However, in a chenami, if they already went to Bezdin, and Bezdin already paskin that the daughters are entitled to $1,000, then even though it's Mu'atam and Esrabu, then certainly it would not be a shayla, and certainly the din would be that any meiser and any surplus would belong to the daughters. The Gemara continues, Tashma, let us bring a raya to Hashayla from the following memra, as the Amr Rab Asi Amr Rabbi Yechon, as Rab Asi stated in the name Rabbi Yechon, Yisem Shekadmu Machu Ben Chasim Watin, Mashem Machu Machu, that if immediately after their father died, and before they went to Bezin, and Bezin didn't yet paskin as to what the halacha is regarding the assets, and the Yisem went and sold these assets, and they were Nechasim Watin, then whatever they sold would be a valid sale, and as Rashbam points out, Yisem Shekadmu Kedem Shemidim Bonas Bedin, Umachu Afilim as we know that we don't collect from mazon isha or for daughters from the chasim u'shabadim, since the brothers already sold these assets, so therefore bezin can't be goyva for the mazon abonis from these assets. And the Rashbam points out the kolshkim and the chasim rubin, and certainly this halacha applies with these assets when the chasim rubin, and therefore the sons would actually yashin the full amount of these nechasim. K'da'am b'ksub is ha'achas she'shivdu ma'isin l'panos ve'im ma'isin l'mzaynes. And there's raya from here that kimishim machru mechirasa mechira, since we just stated that if the brothers would actually sell these assets, their sale would be valid. So yeshlan tfisis yab ben chasim. So we see that they're connected to these assets. Therefore, if there would be a surplus, they should have a right and a chelik to the surplus. V'schusam behenay medes, and their schus in these assets still remain. We therefore see that the sisters would not have right to the surplus. Our Gemara now continues. Yosef Rabbi Yemiya kamedra avov. Rabbi Yemiya was sitting in front of Ravo, and he asked him the following series of shaylos, and we will see that Rabbi Yemiya will ask three different shaylos, and then the Gemara will have an ikud boyla le'idach kisa. The Gemara will bring the shaylos of Rabbi Yemiya in the reverse order, and instead of there being three shaylos, the Gemara will actually have four shaylos. And the Gemara begins that Rabbi Yemiya asked Ravo the following: Al menasu ma'u shetim apin chasim. As we know that just like there was a tnai ksuba that daughters would receive mezoines and receive support until bagris, or until they get married. Similarly, there's a tnai ksuba that a husband writes to his wife that you will be supported from my assets until you get married or until your ksuba is paid off. Therefore, Rabbi Yemiya asks, what would be the halacha if at the time that Yaakov died, the estate is valued at $2,500? Based on the previous examples, there's a need for $1,000 to support daughters and to support sons, and therefore, in order to be considered Nechasim Reuben, there had to be $2,000, and over here it was Nechasim Reuben, since there's $2,500 and there's enough money to support both the sons and daughters at Shetabagon. However, if you're going to add in the amount of money that would potentially cost to support the Almana, it would no longer be enough money to support the sons and daughters at Shetabagon, in addition to supporting Yaakov's Almana, Kol Yimei Megal Melasa. And Rashbam, on the first of the wide lines, explains the Shaila Rabbi Yemi as follows: Mi Amrinan, do we say, Kivin Islam Mezainim Maitai, that since the Almana has the right and is entitled to Mezainis, we have to take this into account when defining if this is considered Nechasim Reuben or Nechasim Watin. Therefore, v'lo mikru Nechasim Reuben u'mafrishim anechasim mazon ish v'abonis ad she'bagru v'amisal banim. In this scenario, we would actually remove the amount of money that it would cost to support the daughters, as well as the amana, which in our example is approximately $2,000, and the excess would now go to the sons. And our example, the sons would receive $500. The ma'atin nenu ol'ach she'itziu ha'maisa yishalo ha'psachim. And once the sons use $500, they will have to be yishalo ha'psachim. Dilma, or we would say, keeping the ilminsible about less than mezaine, since we know that an almana only receives mezaines kol yimei megal melasa, and there is a potential that she could get married at any point, and it's biyada to get married, loy mimata, we wouldn't take this amount into consideration. Uchemad leisa damya, don't take into account any money for the mezainis of the amana, umetziyim min achasal lebanis kedei mezainin ad shibagu, and therefore we would only remove from these assets the amount of money that is needed for the daughters until they get older, until they reach bagris, which would be $1,000. The cholasha yirsha abanim kedin nechas merubin, and then the sons would yashin the extra $1,500. The halamana loy mematlu the kriyun buar abanim yirshu abanis zainu mechilik abanis leitizin halamana imayin from the $1,000 that we already segregated for the daughters. We would not give any money to the almana, and we would not remove that from their chilek. As if we would take the almana's portion into consideration, that a banim yishalu v'almana tizayin, then in this case the almana would receive $1,000, and the banim would be yishalu after they use the $500. However, we don't take into consideration yizayinu yachad almana v'albanim. Then the sons and almana actually share the remaining $1,500, and the almana would only receive a total of $750, and the sons would receive $750. However, certainly the daughters would not lose out at all. There was no nafkamina if the din would be memato or loyimato. The bein bin chasim ruben, bein bin chasim watan tnan habonis zaynu. In all cases, the daughters have to receive support, and they would receive their $1,000 first from the Rashbam. It's mashma that let's say there was only $1,500, then certainly the bonus would receive $1,000, and there would just be a shayla as to the last $500. As would we say that the almana would receive the full $500, or would we say that the banim and the almana would share that $500, and each one would get $250? And Rashbam continues, Inami hech lemata mikru nechas merubin, that if she doesn't actually diminish the amount of the estate, then we consider it nechas merubin. The afal pishnis akva yoy melamacha milunase, and even if it would take her a long time to get married, hareyu kumerubin v'nismaitu the amin kva zocha ben yoshin, as in that case we would say that the sons were already the Irish, v'yizayim shloshin yachad banim banis v'almana, and then we would say that the sons and daughters and the almana would share equally kein irishitizu be'inai ayin sham. And the Gemara continues and explains the shayla, mi'am, do we say kimin islam mizayinu ma'ita, that since l'maisa almana has a right to receive mizayinus, therefore she's included in the calculation, and it's m'mayit the amount of nechasim, and it's considered nechasim watin, oy dilma kimin de'ilu mitzvah lesla, hashanami lesla, or do we say that since it's not a set amount, and l'maisa she could get married at any time, and as Rabbeinu Gershom states, oy dilma kimin de'biyadalin insube im mistabayi, v'chim mitzvah lesla mizayinu mi'yoshin, hachinami hashtach mitzvah, and therefore if it is sad, it would still be considered nechas merubin. Gemara continues with the second shayla of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah's shayla is based on Imtim Suleima. And let's keep in mind that there's a klal in Shas that when the Gemara itself says the words Imtim Suleima, that the Gemara is trying to paskin like that sad. And the Gemara continues Imtim Suleima kivin de'ilu mitzvah lesla hastanami lesla, and some agurus Imtim Suleima kivin de'ilu mitzvah lesla loy memato, since lemaisa if the amana gets married she no longer has a right to mezainis, so her debt is not a set amount, and therefore it is not included in the calculation and doesn't minimize the amount that's left for mezainis of the daughters. Therefore, we still consider this as if it's nechas merubin. So Rabbi Yirmiyah now continues and asks the following shayla: Bas ishto ma'u shetima b'nechasim, that although there is no tnai ksuba regarding a stepdaughter, however, if Yaakov gets married to Rachel and at the time of the marriage he writes in the ksuba, I'm going to support your daughters that you had from a different husband, which are now my stepdaughters for the next 5 years, and when Maisa Yaakov dies within that 5 year period, when Yaakov's sons inherit Yaakov's estate, they're still responsible to support their stepsisters until the 5 year period is over. Maisa, this debt to the stepsisters different than an obligation to the almana, as Maisa, when the almana gets remarried, there's no longer this obligation. However, the debt to the stepsisters is a set amount, as it's up to 5 years, and even if the stepsisters would get married, they're still responsible to pay this money. And therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah has the following shayla, Mi'amrina on kivin dechiminsuba nami isla, that do we say that since it's a set time frame and a set amount of a debt, that maybe that is included in the cheshbin, and therefore, since now there will be less than $2,000 available, so it would be considered a chasim watin. What do we say? Kivin dechiminsuba lesla loyimata. Lamaisa, certainly they're not responsible if these stepdaughters die. Therefore, we wouldn't include this in the cheshbin when trying to figure out if this estate is considered a chasim ruben or a chasim watin. And since there's enough money in order to support the sons and daughters, actually to Bagron, so therefore we would consider it as if Yaakov died and he had Nechasim Reuben. As Rashbam stated in his second shot, the Lamaisa, since it's considered Nechasim Reuben, so although Einach and Nami, the children will have to actually give money to the stepdaughters, but that would be considered as if it was Reuben and Smaitu, Darmin and Kvazoch Ben Yarshin, Vizon and Shloshin Yachad, Yaakov's sons and his daughters daughters as well as his stepdaughters will be Nizanu Yachad, as Yaakov's estate has the status of Nechasim Reuben. Once again, the Gemara continues, the Rabbi Yemir goes and asks a third Shaila, and this will also be based on the Imtim Salema, and once again, the Imtim Salema will take the tzad that we consider it as if there's Nechasim Reuben, and the Gemara continues, the Imtim Salema, keep the little mesa, less law, the loy mimata, that if you will say that since it's not considered a set debt, as potentially she will die, the sons will not be responsible for the support of the stepdaughters for the entire 5 years, and therefore it doesn't minimize the estate. We consider the estate as if it's Nechasim Reuben. So what would the halacha be if at the time that Yaakov died, the children knew that he owed a debt to a Baal Chayiv, and Lemaisa, this debt will be a fixed amount, and certainly the Baal Chayiv has a right to come and collect this debt. Rabbi Yemi explains, that since Lemaisa, the Baal Chayiv will always collect, and even if the Baal Chayiv dies, his Yashim will be able to collect his debt, and therefore certainly it has to be taken into account into calculating the actual net value of the estate. Certainly, since there's not enough money to support the sons and daughters at Shibagu, and also to pay off the debt, so therefore the estate will be considered Nechasim Watin, and the daughters will be able to receive all their mazain, and the sons will not be able to take their Yerusha. They will only receive any amount that would be more than the net of the mazain Habanes, as well as the amount that's needed to pay off the Bachayiv, and the din would be of Habanes Yizayinu, Habanim Yishalu Al-Psachim, Oydilma, Kivin Mechasi Gubayinu, Lehimimaita. Or do we say that Lemaisa, since at this point the Bachayiv is not coming to take away this money, and Lemaisa, he still has to come to Bezin, and he has to support his claim that he's owed this money, maybe we wouldn't take this amount into calculation, figuring out the net asset value of the estate. The estate is considered as if there's Nechasim Reuben, and as Rashbam points out, and then the sons and daughters will be able to be supported equally until the time that Baal Chayiv comes to collect his debt. And we advise bother the this svara of Kimon Chasik Gavayin and Loim Maita doesn't seem to be such a strong svara. Therefore states, perish the B'tayim HaKoldu Sogilon Kadesh Ledavki Yerushas Banim Deraisa V'Shalei Lahoitzi Anachasim Mechaskasan. As the sheet brings from Teis Rosh, claim Akim Nebehi Shaita Shebein Amdulodin Mechusa Gavayna Afa Pisha Sefer Ligbois Beloi Safik Havlu Kimrubim Nesmaitu Zach Bem Yarshin V'Zayna Kulam Ad Shebagru. It seems that Teis Rosh is pointing out that even though that we potentially know that there is a Baal Chayiv that may come to collect from these assets, that even so we don't stop the sons and daughters from taking them Mizoinis, and even though potentially they will use up all these assets, ultimately when this creditor comes to collect his chayiv, there won't be enough for him to collect from, and even so, Bezdin doesn't stop the sons and daughters from supporting themselves from these funds. Before we continue, let's point out that Taisis on the bottom of Amid is the Lachira, how could the Gemara have a Svara, Miyamino, Kivadil Minzibo, Leslo, Loimimata, and also how does the Gemara have a Svara, Benegea Bas Ishtai, Oidilma, Kivadil Mesa, Leslo, Loimimata, Lamaisa, these same two dinim apply. We know that if their sisters would die or if they would get married, they would no longer be entitled to mezoinis, even though it's prior to Bagris. Even b'negei sisters, it's considered mechasu gavaina. And as Taisus is, Tam Luri, Heich Taya Leimakein, Babas Nami, Imincible Lesla, Kiditan, that have misazon ad lokal govern, Umay Kaminami Bachoy Mechsu gavaina, if Bas Nami Mechsu gavaina, Vi Mesa Nami Lesla, Kamei Bas Ishtai, Ayin Shom, and also Ayin Taisus that points out, Bishleim b'degei daughter, so we know we can make a cheshbin as to the amount of food that she potentially will use after the bagrin, which is the longest period of time that she will be supported. But if we will include the almana in the cheshbin, then l'chayr, there won't be any amount that we can make the cheshbin, because the almana has to be supported, kol yimei megal malasa, until the point that she gets married. Therefore, Taisus is, v'oid iba almana shaykh nechasim rotin, mashir yia, the Bishleim b'degei is yishir l'manda omad shir bagru. However, al ba almana lo shaykh bagris, that Masa Yu and Chasim Watin Ayin Shom. The Gemara now continues with Ikel Boyla Leidach Kisa, and some say that Rabbi Yemi's Shaila was not in the order that we just saw it, where he asked about Amona, then he asked about a stepdaughter, and then he asked about a Baal Chayiv. In all Shailas, he went based on Imtim Salema that we would actually say that they're not included in the Cheshbin, and therefore we consider it in Chasim Reuben. And the Gemara will now ask the Shaila, starting from Baal Chayiv, using the opposite Imtim Salemas, and as the Gemara continues, Baal Chayiv Mao Shiyama Ben Chasim, there Rabbi Yemi's first shayla was b'negei Baal Chayiv, and if the father had a Baal Chayiv, would that be memayit in Nechasim or not? Though the Gemara doesn't use the lashon of intim salema, but the Gemara is just going through the shayla in a very quick manner. But it's really as if the Gemara states that intim salema, that if you're going to tell me that a Baal Chayiv is memayit in Nechasim, the Maisa Baal Chayiv has a right to collect even if he dies. We continue on Daf Kuf Mem Beis. is bas ishtemau shetumim b'nechasim, then we still have a shayla as to what the halacha would be if there's a stepdaughter that's entitled to mezoinis for 5 years. L'maisa, if she dies, she's no longer going to be entitled to those b'nechasim, so maybe we would not be b'mayit b'nechasim, maybe we would still be considered b'nechasim Reuben, or we would say that this amount would still be b'mayit b'nechasim, and imtim sleiman, if you're going to say that would still be b'mayit b'nechasim, but maybe that's because she's still entitled to the b'nechasim, even if she gets married. However, at this point, Rabbi Yemi asks a third shayla, al menasu mao shetumim b'nechasim, that l'maisa al-mana is not entitled to the b'nechasim if she dies, and therefore maybe she would not be b'mayit b'nechasim, and it would be considered b'nechasim Reuben. Or do we say that she would still be b'mayit b'nechasim, and it would be considered b'nechasim Watan? The fetus version of Rabbi Yemi's question, so at this point, Rabbi Yemi has an additional intim sulema, and Rabbi Yemi states that if you're going to tell me b'negei al-mana, now although it's certainly true that if the almana would get remarried, that she would no longer be entitled to mezoinis, but even so, at this point, she's still entitled to mezoinis, and therefore it would be b'mayit b'nechasim, and we consider nechasim watin. So at this point, only the almana and the daughter would be entitled to receive nechasim. Rabbi Yemiya now is al menasu bas ezuman kodemes. While it's true that we just explained that would be considered nechasim watin, and therefore a person's daughter and his almana would receive mezoinis and receive support from his estate, but who would actually have kadima? For example, if there was only $1,000 in the estate, then which one of them would take precedence? As Rashbam states, that since shtei and tayvas mezoinis b'tnai ksuba, that since both of them are coming with the same taina as that being taiveya the mezoinis based on a tnai ksuba, hilka kivin tavaya b'tekat rabbanon achli ezu taktum, which one should come first and which one will take precedence? Gemara continues with its second version, as Omalei, as Ravo responded to Rabbi Yemiya, zilda idna v'tala macha, that leave today and come back tomorrow, and I'll think about the shayla. And ki also when Rabbi Yemiya came back, a Malay Rabbi Vo responded to Rabbi Yemiya, "Pshayt miyaschoda that I'm able to be pushed at least yulei shayla." The Rab Abba and Rab Asi, as Rab Abba stated in the name of Rab Asi, also almana itzal bas kabas itzal achim b'nechasim watin. When there is an almana and a daughter, and there is nechasim watin, then the Rabbanon gave priority to almana when going against the daughter, just like the Rabbanon gave a daughter precedence over a son. Therefore, an almana takes first, and only if there's enough nechasim, then the daughter will receive mezaynes, just like the halacha was b'negei nechasim watin. When there's a daughter and a son, that the daughter takes precedence over her son. And as the Gemara explains, ma bas itzal achin abas tizoynis va'achin yishalo al-psochim af almana itzal abas almana tizoynis va'abas tishalo al-psochim. The svara is that just like when there's a son and daughter, a father certainly doesn't want his daughters to be mevuyish and to be have bezoyin of going around and collecting. Therefore, certainly he'd rather that his daughters receive mezoynis and his sons will have to go around and collect money for the mezoynis. And the same svara applies b'negei almana on the daughter. And a man would rather that his daughters have to go and be mevazah themselves and collect money than having his wife have to go door to door in order to collect for her mezoinis. As Rabbeinu Gershom states, v'kol zman shloi nasu kreva daita debal tfeila ishtoi mibitoi therefore bedinu dekadma. And as Rabbeinu Gershom continues and states, mishum denichel abal shloi tezalzal amanasai v'hani nechasim watan enu ayin sham. L'chir, it's a bit tzarech bira, as how could it be that Ravo stated pshayt miyaschada that will only be pushed at this last shayla if all these shaylas were based on intim salema? Then L'chir, once he's pushed the last shayla, it was pushed that we take into account the amount of the almanas and zaynes when deciding if it's considered nechasim watin. So l'chir, he was pushed all four shaylas of Rabbi Yemiya v'tzarech bia, and Ayin Rishonim discuss this point, and Ayin Rashba, whose lashon is v'hashad ifshta almana deches habanes memela ifshta almana memayitus b'nechasim v'afilu hachi loy ifshta boyin de balchayiv and afilu de tfei havi mashma de havi lele balchayiv lemutei de isla afilu moyis mash enkim v'bas ishto v'amanasai v'teidem in the amalei pshayt miyachada v'loy amatati ayin sham. The Gemara now continues and quotes from a Mishnah. V'fidu Rashbam, there was a machlekes between the Tanakama and Admoin, and Tanakama held that when there's nechasim watin, that abanis yizaynu v'abanim yishalo obsachim. And on this point, Admoin argued and said, b'loshim bitmiyah, b'shvil shani zachiv sa'ati, because I'm a male, I should lose out. As Rashbam points out, avolei afsir v'nizaynu yachad, certainly even by nechasim watin, the sons will not lose out, and the sons and daughters will share the assets of the father equally, will take mezaynus equally, until they deplete all the assets of the father, and then both the sons and daughters will have to be yishalo al-psachim. The Gemara begins and asks, my kama, that's mashma from the lashon of Admoin, that b'shvil shani zachiv sa'ati, it's mashma that a son has a greater koyach than a daughter as to receiving mezoinis, and therefore his taina is that how could it be that I will lose out? And the Gemara asks, what is that maigla? And Omar Abaye, and Abaye explains, hachi kama, that is what Admoin meant to say, b'shvil shani zachiv roi ani lasi b'teri of sa'ati, that because I'm a male and I'm ready to learn Torah, then certainly I should not lose out. Certainly I should even take take precedence over my sisters. At least I should be able to take mezoinis on an equal level as my sisters. And Gemara continues, Omele Rava, so Rava respond to the Abaya, and certainly that can't be the Svara of Admon. It can't be by the fact that someone's able to learn Torah, or that learns Torah, that he is the greatest chus in Yerusha, as Elamayata, as based on this Svara, Manda Asa B'Torah Hu Diyaris. You think that if there are two sons, and one of them learns Torah, and one of them doesn't learn Torah, then the one that learns Torah has the greatest chus of Yerusha, and the Asa B'Torah Liyaris, and the one that doesn't learn Torah will not Yashin, and certainly that's not true, and certainly even someone that doesn't learn Torah still has a right to Yerusha, and therefore certainly that can't be a greater migla for a son over a daughter, and Alam Rava, and therefore Rava explains, Hachikama, this is what the Mishnah meant to say, Bishvil Shini Zacha, that because I have a migla, that I'm male, V'Reyani Lirish, B'Nechas Merubin, and if there would be Nechas Merubin, then I would receive the entire estate, and I would only be obligated to support my sisters, Hesati B'Nechas Merubin, you think I should actually lose out, when is Nechas Merubin, and I shouldn't actually receive the Yerusha at all, and I should have to be Yachzal HaPsachim, and certainly I should at least share in the Nechasim together with my sisters, and we should both receive Mezoinis on an equal basis. And Rashbam states, V'yafa koich b'nechasim Reuben, sh'ani yoyer shakol, afilu mei amana, ve'ilu nekeva, ki Mezoinis. Ayin in Ba'an Tezin Amid, who states, el me'ata ma'ata asa b'raisa hu diyaris, v'afa pi damin al kamon, and even though in Daf Kuf Mem Aleph, we will state, mitzvah lozen sabonis, v'kavu chayim abonim, ha'oiskim b'raisa, so we do see that there's a ma'ila of oiskim b'tayra, ha'in l'in mitzvah, that has only been a gay mitzvah, avil in yedina, in l'chalik b'in oskim b'raisa, lo yaski, but certainly b'in a gay halacha, we can't make a chilah between someone that learns Torah and someone that doesn't learn Torah, Ayin and Taisus. Let's read the Lashon Haran, who explains the question a bit deeper, as the Gemara was really asking, Klema, my Klema, Shadin Noisin, that Lachiria, Pumfa Ket, and the Svar should be that certainly a male should support his sisters, Shayafsa Bishvil Shuzacha, the Dakarel Midrach, and certainly it's normal for a male to go out and be Matriach and be Yachsal of Psachim, of Oyed Shu Yorish, from Mizainis in Chayvlov, and also he's a Yorish, and the Mizainis is a Chayv, and certainly about Chayv has a right to take from Mizainis, and certainly the daughters should take precedence over the son. Rabban explains that Abaye's teretz was the Hachikama Vade Litikin Rabbanon Shisham Misha Isabitari al Psachim, however, actually, the Chimisha Ina Isabitari, Royal Hafsid Yosa, and Loy Bechol and Yanni Rusha Shavin, who must see Sinami Tani Bishvil Shani Zacha, the Chos Harim Bechal, Bain Isabitari, Bain Shaina Isabitari. Rabban explains Rav's teretz, Uparak, the Hachikama, Bishvil Shani Zacha, Roy Lirish, Bin Chosm Rubin, the Chol and the Chosm Shalil Gamri, Bain Yot Mishusi, El Shani Nislam Zainis, his Sat bin Chosm Watin, Havel Rabban Lamema, she is Zaino Abanis, Velayla Hitz and Chosm Yada Zacha, Shan Chosm Shaloy Loilam, Bain Chayav El Shi Zaino Mahan Abanis, Bechol A, she is Sham Nchosm, Ayin Sham. Before we continue with the new Mishnah, let us point out that we know there's a concept of a tumtum, which is a person that's born where his Simoni Zachris or his Simoni Nakvis are covered up, and we're not able to tell if he's actually a male or female. There's a general Shiloh as to the status of a tumtum, as some hold that a tumtum is a Suffolk Zacha or Suffolk Nekeva, and others hold that a tumtum is a berry b'fnei atzmai, and this will be important to understand when we learn the Mishnah, and certainly, as we will see, the Rishon Mishnah will certainly seem that the Mishnah hold that a tumtum is a Suffolk Zacha or Suffolk Nekeva, and is not a berry b'fnei atzmai, but as we will see, that the Sefer of the Mishnah seems to be clear that the Mishnah holds that a tumtum is a berry b'fnei atzmai. And when we get to the Gemara will explain that we could even explain the Rishon Mishnah based on the Manda Omar that a tumtum is a berry b'fnei atzmai. However, right now, we will learn our Mishnah as if the Mishnah holds that a tumtum is a Suffolk Zacha, Suffolk Nekeva. And the Mishnah begins, Hanich banim u'banis v'tumtum, that if Yaakov died, he left over sons and daughters as well as a tumtum, b'zman shenechas merubim hazukharim deich na'isei l'tzal nekevais. So when there's nechas merubim, then when the tumtum comes and says to the sons that I want to yashin together with you, then they say there's a potential that you're in a keva, and I'm mitzvah mechaveh al raya, and therefore you only have a right to take mezoinis like in a keva. However, it's certainly mashma from the Mishnah that the tumtum would have a right to take mezoinis, as at the very least he's in a keva. Therefore, based on ksubas ben anayvin, he certainly has a right to take mezoinis. The Mishnah continues, nechasim watin, and if when the father died, the estate was considered nechasim watin, if the tumtum goes to the nekevais and says, I should be entitled to mezoinis, as potentially I'm in a keva, the nekevais will tell the tumtum, hamaisim mechaveh al raya, potentially you're a zachar, and therefore you're not entitled to share with us, and you can't take mezoinis. But since at this point we're learning the Mishnah, that the Mishnah holds that a tumtum is a suffix zachar, suffix nekeva, therefore certainly, if the father left over $1,500, all that is needed in order to support the daughters, Achit Bagran, is $1,000, then the tumtum would be able to share with the brothers the remaining $500 until that depletes, and then he will also have to be yachzal upsachim, just like the rest of the brothers. The Mishnah continues, ha'imem teilet ishti zachar yitil mana, yaldu zachar yitil mana. We read the Mishnah based on the gears in our Mishnah. However, as we will see later on in the Gemara, it's mashmur that the actual gears of the Mishnah should be ha'imem yolda ishti zacha yitomana yolda zacha yitomana. That if Yaakov's wife Rachel is expecting, and he says if she gives birth to a male, then he should get $100. And certainly, if Rachel gives birth to a male, then that male is entitled to $100. Rashbam explains this part of the Mishnah in two different ways. As number one, it could be by a person that's about to die, as mechalak nechasav haya u'mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis, and this is based on the concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis inami bari, or we're talking about a healthy person v'zikla de'acha, and it was mezaka to this child through another person, and that person made a kin on the behalf of that child. The avagav dam Rav Huna mezaka u'b'lekana, and even though, as the Gemara will discuss, Rav Huna hold that if someone's mezaka to an urba u'b'lekana, even though according to Rameya you could be kind of something that's not ba'al ilam, however you can't be zeicha for someone that's not ba'al ilam. Therefore, how could it be that you can be mezaka l'uba in our Mishnah? And the Gemara will ask this question, and the Gemara won't have a teretz. The Mishnah continues, im nekeva mesayim, yolda nekeva, and it tells mesayim that if Yaakov says that if my wife gives birth to a female, then that female should receive $200. Then if she gives birth to a nekeva, then certainly the nekeva is entitled to $200. And the Gemara will ask that why is the Mishnah give an example of benegei nekeva of $200, and benegei male, it gives an example of $100, and it's mashman that a person would rather have a daughter than have a son. And the Gemara will ask this question, and as Rashbam states, the Mishnah continues, and we will explain the Mishnah based on the Pshat that the Rashbam likes, as the Mishnah states, if Yaakov says that if my wife has a male, then I want the male to receive $100, and if my wife has a female, I want the female to receive $200, but certainly he doesn't mean to say, if she has twins, I want the Zacha to receive a mana and the Nekeva to receive $200, as certainly if she has twins, I don't want any of them to receive any money, as certainly I don't want twins, as that's not a good outcome for me. Mishnah teaches us, V'yolda Zacha Nekeva, and if his wife gives birth either to a male or to a female, Zacha Neitel Mana, then the case where she had a male, then the Zacha would receive $100, and if Rachel had a female, then the girl would receive $200. There is no Chiddush in this part of the Mishnah. However, the Mishnah continues, Yolda Tumtum in a Neitel. In this scenario, although Yaakov actually said that if she gives birth to a son, he should receive $100, and if she gives birth to a Nekeva, then she should receive $200. Therefore, if we would hold that a tumtum is a suffix zacha, suffix nekeva, then certainly a tumtum should receive $100. In the worst case scenario, he's a zacha, and therefore he should be entitled to $100. However, as we explained, the sefer of the Mishnah certainly is going according to the man d'omar that a tumtum is a berry b'fnei atzmai, and therefore he is not entitled to receive $100 or $200, as his wife didn't give birth to a male or a female. She gave birth to a tumtum who is in the category of his own, and he's a berry b'fnei atzmai. The Mishnah continues, that if Yaakov said that whatever my wife gives birth to, they should receive $100, harezei yitol, even if Rachel gives birth to a tumtum, then certainly he would receive that $100, as l'maisa, she gave birth to this child, even if he's considered a berei b'fnei atzmo, he has a right to $100. Finally, the Mishnah teaches us, v'mein shem yorush elohu, yorush es hakol, and if Yaakov only had a tumtum, and then he died, and the tumtum would yashin his entire estate, and certainly it's pashut, according to the man d'omar, that a tumtum is a suffix zacha, suffix dekeva, and certainly a tumtum is entitled to an entire estate. However, even according to the Manda Amar, that a tumtum is buried from Atzmai, and the Torah only tells us that a son or a daughter has a right to Yashin. However, as Rashbam points out, that Lemaisa, we have a drasha of Ben Einloi, Ayin Alav, and Ayin Alav Bas, Ayin Alav, and therefore we have to look into if he has any children. Even though a tumtum is a buried from Atzmai, he's still included, he still has a right to receive this Yerusha, Inami, and then Rashbam explains, Mishim the Karina Be'akar V'lav Mishpachta V'yarisha Yisa, as we previously discussed in detail, that although the Torah actually writes the order of Yerusha, but the Torah's order is not specific, and really we have to look at whoever is closest and whoever has a closer relationship. And certainly a father has a closer relationship to his child who's a tumtum than to his own father, and therefore certainly a tumtum takes precedence over his father. Therefore the tumtum would have a right to yashin and inherit Yaakov's entire estate. Before we begin the Gemara, let us go back to the words of the Mishnah that stated, im zocha manim nekeva mesayim v'yolda zocha nekeva zocha neito manim nekeva neitels mesayim yolda tumtum in a neitel. And the pashtus of the words in the Mishnah seem to be discussing a case where Yaakov actually had twins. We explained the Mishnah based on the Rashbam that we're not talking about a case where Yaakov actually had twins. And let us see the Rashbam inside four lines before it gets wide. As Rashbam points out, Yesh Mufashim, she yolda shneim biyachad hazocha v'anakeva, and if she gave birth to twins, v'yita hazocha manav anakeva titul mesayim, k'd kama av im zocha manav anakeva mesayim, v'lab milsihi, and he explains that that's not the proper pshat of the Mishnah. Shwe le om ha'av im yolda zocha unakeva, v'le osaka daita b'le distu umim, el hachi kaba im zocha manav im Certainly, if she gives birth to twins, then the twins will not receive anything, and neither the Zacha or Nekeva will receive any money. Now, Gemara now begins, and as we mentioned, that the Nereisha, it's Mashma, that we're going according to the Mandama, that a Tumtum is Suffolk Zacha, Suffolk Nekeva, and therefore the Gemara begins, and in the Nereisha, the Mishnah, we stated, Hanich Bonim and Bonis, Vitumtum, Vizmanshan and Chasm Rubin, as Haran Deichra says on the Kevais. Gemara points out that it's Mashma, Deichra says Vishacha Hubas, that even though there's a Haran push off the Tumtum, but certainly the Tumtum is considered Suffolk Zacha. And at least he should receive mizoynus like a daughter, and therefore he would have a right to take mizoynus just like he's a daughter. Therefore, the Gemara asks a stira based on the sefer, which, as we explain, is muchach like the going like the mandamar that a tumtum is a berry b'fnei atzmoi. As a ketani sefer, as we learned in the sefer, yol the tumtum in a neidol, that even though Reuven said that if I have a son, that he should receive $100, and if my wife gives birth to a daughter, then she should receive $200. But if his wife gives birth to a tumtum, the tumtum would not be entitled to any money. Therefore, it's clear that we're going like the Manda Oma, that the Tumtum is a berry for the Atzma. If so, even in the Risha, when the Tumtum goes to the Nekevais and he asks for Mizoynais, the Nekevais should say that you're a berry for the Atzma. And Lemaisa, the only reason why you should ever receive Mizoynais, only based on the Tzayk Suba of Benun Naikvan, and Lemaisa, you're not a female, and therefore you're not included in that Hakana. Therefore, even though our father left Nechasim Rubin, you still have no right to receive Mizoynais, as you're not included in that Hakana, and Nimsa Kurech Mikan to Kurech Mikan, and a Tumtum would not be entitled to receive Yerusha, and he would also not be entitled to receive Mizoynais. Gemara continues, Om Abaya, and Abaya explains that in Chinami, Doichneisa Ve'inloi, that we could even explain the Risha according to the Manda Oma that Tumtum is a berry from the Atzmai, and what the Mishnah means to say that the sons will push the Tumtum to the Nekevais, and the sisters will also tell the Tumtum that you can't share in the Mizoynais as Lemaisa, you're a berry from the Atzmai. And similarly, in the next case of the Risha, where it states, Nechasim Watan, Nekevais Doichneis Eisel Zacharim, once again, we will explain that they will go to the Zacharim and they'll ask to receive the Yerusha to split any additional money that's above the amount that's needed to support the Nekevais Atishir Bagrin. And for example, if the father left over $1,500 and all that is needed is $1,000 to support the Nekevais Atishir Bagrin, and they will want to go and split up the $500 with their brothers, once again, the brothers will say to them that you're not entitled to Yerusha as you're buried with the Atzmai. However, the Gemara continues, Rava Omar and Rava states, that in the Chinami, the Reish is going according to the Manda Omar, that a Tumtum is a Suffolk Zacha, Suffolk Nekeva. Therefore, we will explain the Mishnah exactly as we explained it, even though in the Sefer it's clear that when Yaakov stated him Zacha Manim Nekeva Messiah, the other Zacha Nekeva, Zacha Neitel Manim Nekeva Neitel's Messiah, Yod the Tumtum in a Neitel, and it's clear that we're going according to the Mandam and Tumtum is a very Fanatma. In the Chanami Sefer, son of Rab Shimon Gamliel, the Sefer is going according to Rab Shimon Gamliel that holds that Tumtum is a very Fanatma. Tnan, and as we learned in the Mishnah, Mesechus Tmura, Yod the Tumtum Vadragnis, Rab Shimon Gamliel Oime, and Kedusha Chalayim, and this is a Sugya Benegea. And for example, if Yaakov has an animal and it's about to give birth to a Bechar and he doesn't want to give it to a Kayin, he wants to keep the value for himself. The Mishnah teaches us that, for example, if Yaakov is chayiv to bring an Oila, so he could say that if this animal is a Zacha, it should be for an Oila, and if it's an Akeva, then it should be for a Shlomim. And as the Mishnah states, Ketzer Marim al Bechar, Mevakar, Shaysim Uberes, Oime, Masha Bameer, Shazu, Im Zacha, Oila, Im Akeva Shlomim. And the Mishnah teaches us, if it's Yod, the Tumtum Vadragnis, Rav Shimon Gamaliel Oime, and Kedusha Cholayim, then the Kedusha is not chal on them, the Berihu, the Ein Lei Zach Lein Akeva, the Hilkalai Chachalayim, Kedusha Shlomim, the Oilu Bemei Iman, the Lei Kedusha Bucha, the Ptiris Rechem, the Lei Kurina Be Hazach Takish, as the Mice it's not a male, and therefore certainly the Kedusha Bucha is not chal on the Behema, and we know that Kedusha Bucha is only chal once it's actually born, and not while it's Bemei Iman. Therefore, as Rashbam states, that Rav is explaining that the Sefer Mishnah is going like Rav Shimon Gamliel, Umasis and Nami, the Tani Yal, the Tumtum, Ein Neitel, is Rav Shimon Gamliel, who, the Chash of Lei Beria, Ayin Shom. The Gemara continues, Mesfei, I'll bring you a question from a Braisa, and the Braisa seems to be going and explaining our Mishnah, and therefore the Gemara wants to bring this Araya against Abaya, as the Braisa states, Tumtum Yerush Keben, Veniza Kabas, that Tumtum has a right to Yashin like like a son and to receive mizoynus like a daughter. And the Gemara states, Bishlam Rava Yerish Kaben Menachas Watin. So we can explain that the Bryce is explaining our Mishnah and it's telling us that we're going like the man the Omar, that Tumtum is a suffix Zacha suffix the Keva, and therefore, when's in the Chasim Watin, then he'll at least be Yerish Kaben. And then the Mishnah teaches us, Benizin Kabas Menachasim Rubin, if when their father dies, that the estate is considered Nechasim Rubin, since certainly this Tumtum is at least a daughter, so he'll at least receive the Zionist like a daughter, even though he won't Yashin like a son, as they'll push him off to the daughters. But according to Abaya, we never found a sheet in our Mishnah. Lefi Abaya, the entire Mishnah is going like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that a Tumtum is a berry with an atzmai, and certainly there's no case where Tumtum will be Nizim Kabas, and he won't receive Yerusha Kaben either. Therefore, the Chirah, it's Mashma, that the Mishnah should be explained like Rava, that the Reisha is going according to Mandamar, that a Tumtum is a Safik Zacha, Safik Nekeva. However, the Gemara continues, Ul Tameich, but according to your own Svara, the Rava, my Yerush Kaben, the Lemaisa, according to Rava, how will you explain to Braisa that this Tumtum will be Ashen like a son? As the Chirah, if there's no Chasim Watin, then there won't be enough money for the sons to actually receive Yerusha. Therefore, when this Braisa stated that a Tumtum is Yerush Kaben, I have to explain, El Reili Reish Ve'inlai, that even though they're ready to Yashin like a son, but Lemaisa, the sons do not receive any Yerusha, and Hachinami, Reilis of Inlai, so the Chirah, according to Abaya, we could also explain that although they're ready to receive Mizainis like a daughter, but ultimately they won't receive Mizainis, as a Tumtum is a barrier for the Atzmai, and we will stop over here.